Usually, as soon as I finish the shiur on Wednesday night, so I try to keep my ears open for a shiloh that comes up, because in theory, this is supposed to be the shiloh of the week, kind of a format. You never know what's going to come my way. So it happened to be that over this past week, I received almost the same shiloh, slight nuance of the shiloh, but really almost the identical shiloh. And I figured, you know what? Minhag Shamayim will talk about it. And then I realized that not only is it a shiloh, it's an interesting shiloh that comes up fairly often, it also has its roots in this week's parasha as well. So I guess we can call it a Chumash Shia, we can call it a Shia of the Week Shia, whatever we want to call it. It really all has the same roots. And the issue is really a sugya in Maseches Brachos. It relates to actually two sugyas in the sixth parak of Maseches Brachos. And it has its roots, like much of Maseches Brachos, or much at least of the sixth parak of Brachos, has its roots in the mitzvahs that tluyas baretz. We know that there are many, many agricultural mitzvahs that are given to us, the mitzvahs of separating challah, the mitzvah of orla, the first 3 years that eating the fruit, the mitzvahs of bikurim, chumas and rice, the shmita, etc. The halachas that make up Seder Zeraim. So the sixth parak of Maseches Brachos deals with birchas hananim, the different brachas that are made on different foods. And if the learning that sugya, the learning the sugya is in the sixth parak of brachos, you realize right away that it's really almost like a conglomerate of all of Seder Zeraim. I remember years ago in the yeshiva when we were learning I wasn't really saying a shir in Maseches Brachos. I was saying a shir in Seder Zeraim. 1 week we were learning sugyos of Orlan, 1 week Chalan, 1 week Trumas, Maaseh Shmita, etc. So the same is true here also. We're going to embark upon a sugya that's relevant in terms of brachos on foods, but the longest of the sugya is very, very much a Seder Zeraim sugya. So the shayla that was asked to me was the correct bracha concerning different kinds of soups. And as we'll see, the bracha concerning soup is very, very much related to the sugyas of brachas making on juices. And the really fundamental question really starts as the same. Namely, we know that anything that grows on a tree, for the most part, we recite a bar praise. Things that grow on the ground, not from a tree, you recite a bracha bar pri adama. The question is, if you take those solid foods and you turn them into a liquid, either by squeezing out the contents, turning it into a fruit juice, or cooking it up perhaps, making it into a vegetable soup, does the bracha remain the same, or does the bracha go down? That's really the shaila. That's really the question. So comes the Gemara on the first of the Mar Makomos in Brachas Taflam Mechesem and Aleph. Omar Mar Bravashi. Okay, actually, it's the end of the line. I'm sorry, the end of the first line. Omar Mar Bravashi. Hay Duvsha de Tamre Mevorchei Lavei Shachol Liyabidvaro. If one takes dates and one extracts the honey from the date, so one only recites the bracha shahakol, even though obviously the bracha on dates itself is a berber eitz. The bracha achron on dates, of course, is the eitz shalosh, shal eitz. But if you're merely extracting the liquid of the dates, the honey of the dates, then the bracha goes down to shahakol. My time. Why is that? Zeya bialmu. Because the halacha views the honey that's extracted from the date is not the guf ha-pri, not the fruit proper, but rather it's literally translated to mean it's sweat alone. It's literally the sweat of the date. It's just something which comes out of the date. It's not the etzem adate. It's not the etzem gufapri. And therefore, zeh bi'alma, the bracha goes down. Come on. Which view in Tanoim does this follow? My Rav Ashi was in Amora. Which view in Tanoim is he following? Ki haitana, this non. He's following an opinion that appears in the Mishnah. Devash tamarim, the honey of dates, or v'yein tapuchim, literally the wine of apples or cider of apples. Assuming that tapuch means apples, it's also not 100% clear what a tapuch bin chazal actually refers to apples or other kinds of fruits, but it doesn't matter for our purposes. It's basically referring to some kind of a cider, a juice that's coming out of these fruits. Mechomet sifonios, that's a little bit more complicated. What exactly that is, we'll leave that out for now. Ushame peiros. The bottom line is all examples of fruit juices. Shel truma. If a person who is not a kohen, a mistake, consume these fruit juices, that's a problem. You're not allowed to do that. A non-kohen zar is prohibited to eat truma. Not only is he prohibited to eat truma, but if he eats truma b'shegeg unintentionally, then there's a whole parsha that applies to him. The Torah says in Parsha Zemar, he has to pay back a kohen the value of what he ate, and he has to add on a fifth, add on a chomesh. And strangely, he doesn't pay it up in cash. He doesn't write a check to the kohen. rather he has to give fruit to the Kohen that is chulin, that is, does not have kedushas truma to it. And when he gives it to the Kohen, that chulin now becomes truma. It becomes nitfas as truma, and it substitutes for the truma that he ate. That's a parashat emor, but also the kainis hakodesh. So that halacha of paying back the keren, the value, and the chomesh, the fifth, and you have to pay dafka and fruit, and the fruit becomes kodesh b'kedushas truma. There was a machlekes atanoim whether that applies to a person who didn't eat the fruit of truma, but rather he extracted the juice and he drank the juice of truma. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev keren mechemesh b'shua poiter. Rabbi Eliezer says yichayev, and Rabbi Shua says yipotah. What's the machlekes? So it seems pretty clear. The machlekes is, what is juice? What is the relation between juice and the fruit? Do all the halachas of the fruit carry over to the juice, or do we say the juice is considered to be somehow a separate entity? It's mir zeh bi'alma. So the machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, was a machlekes on a Torah level, on a deraisetical level. How does the Torah define the juice? Is juice considered to be the guf apri, or is it simply zeh bi'alma? That question on deraisetical, at a Torah level, impacts whether you pay keren v'chemish on a deraisetical level. Ma'ab Rav Ashi is now extrapolating from that question to Huchus Brachos. The bracha that you make in a fruit is not a din deraisa, it's only a din derabanan anyway. But Abba Bichain called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa tikkun. When Chazal instituted the din derabanan brichas aperis, they patterned it after what the dinim deraisa were. So whatever you think the dinim deraisa are, whatever your standard of what you think fruit juice is, on a level of deraisa vis-a-vis tashlumei truma, is going to impact what you think the correct bracha is. When Ma'ar Rav Ashi said the only mikra shahakol, that's in sync with Rabbi Yeshua's view that you don't have to pay keren v'chemish, because basically, so we have a classic example here of a shaila derabanan. Hilchos Birchas Aperis is only derabanan; it's not deraisa. I mean, you don't have to make any brachas before you eat food. It's only a din derabanan. The din derabanan is very much being impacted by the potential din deraisa. So the Gemara has almost an identical statement in the second of the Ma'ar Mekamos. If a person eats orla, fruit of orla, the first 3 years, we were speaking about this in the Tuesday night share last night. If a person eats fruit the first 3 years, it's an issur deraisa, it's chay balkas. So the Mishnah raises the question, what would the din be if a person didn't eat the fruit, but he drank the juice? So he took apple juice of orla, orange juice of orla, would he be chayav malchus? So the Mishnah says no. You're not chayav malchus unless the juice that you had was olive oil or grape juice, wine. Zeitzah v'anavim are their own category in halacha, all other fruits, so the juice is not considered to be like the fruit vis-a-vis orla. Why is that? So the Gemara has a little bit of a detour as to why that should be so. But finally, in the last line, skip to the bottom line of that Ma'ar Mekamos number two. So it's the end of the line. L'hachav shum d'zeh b'alma. The reason why that din is true is because, once again, it's zeh b'alma. It's considered to be just a mere sweat. And it's not considered to be the actual fruit itself. So when all the dust settles, we have really now three different halachas that are all revolving around the same basic point, the same basic principle that juice is just not on par with the fruit itself. Two of the dinim deraisa, and one is derabanan. The two deraisa are vis-a-vis truma. The person who drank the truma juice by mistake doesn't pay for it. The person who drank the orla juice is not chayav malchus. Those are the dinim deraisa. And now the din derabanan is that you recite a bracha shahako on the fruit juice. And again, the reason for all three of these dinim is because zeh bi'alma, it's a mere sweat, it's not the guf ha'pri. However, even though it seems pretty clear from the first two sources that the reason for this halacha is really a simple svara. Zeh bi'alma is not a pasuk. Zeh bi'alma doesn't seem to be a halacha mashma sinai. Zeh bi'alma is simply an assessment that Chazal made that fruit juice just doesn't meet the mark. It's just not the same. Scientifically, it's not exactly the same. It's a watery, sweaty kind of a result that comes from the fruit, but it's not the guf ha'pri. This doesn't seem to be rooted in any grandiose drushas of psukim. I'm not saying it's not a din deraisa, it's a din deraisa that's dependent upon this svara of zeh bi'alma. But if you learn the sugya in chul and daf kufchaf, you get a very, very different picture of what's going on. Here, the Gemara quotes a sugya, also related to zeroin, also related to deraisas, and that's what relates actually to this week's parasha, parasha kisavo, relating to the mitzvah bikurim. So the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf for the third of the Ramakonis, Vadis Nan, Ein Mevin Bikurim Mashke, Ela Hayyitz Min Azeis Min Anavim. If a person wants to bring, instead of bringing fruit as Bikurim, he wants to bring a pitcher of Bikurim juice. He wants to bring a pitcher of pomegranate juice. The mitzvah is to bring for the Shivas Aminim. Bikurim only applies to the seven species that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with. So if you want to bring pomegranates, that's wonderful. If you want to bring dates, that's wonderful. You want to bring figs, those are great, that's wonderful. But if you want to fill up a barrel of pomegranate juice and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash for Bikurim, you want to fill up your date juice, your fig juice, and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you can't do that. The Mishnah says, Eim Evian Bikur Mashke, the only Mashke that are exceptions to this rule is Zeisim V'Anovim. You could bring olive oil, you could bring wine, grape juice, that's okay. But with those, without, besides those two exceptions, you cannot do that. Money. Who is the author of that statement? So he says, the same story, Rabbi Yeshua. It's the same Rabbi Yeshua. Who's Rabbi Yeshua? Where Rabbi Yeshua? So remember, Rabbi Yeshua was the Tana back in the first source that said that juice is not like a fruit vis-a-vis Truma. So the Gemara is jumping and saying, oh, fruit is not like the juice is not like the fruit vis-a-vis Truma. So too, it's the same. It's not like the fruit vis-a-vis Bikurim. And the Gemara has a whole discussion. Can you really derive Bikurim from Truma? Now, we're going to leave out all the details right now. But the bottom line is the source for the din that there's no Bikurim brought from fruit juice is derived from Truma. And then the Gemara continues in the third of the Mamre comes in the middle of the second line. And we're going to skip a little bit. Rabbi Yeshua connects the dots. Rabbi Yeshua says there's a starting point that Truma only applies to. What's the source for that? Pashas says in this Gemara, it's a pasuk. The Torah only speaks about Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzer. Tirosh is wine and Yitzer is olive oil. So since the Torah only speaks about grape juice and olive oil, wine and olive oil, that comes to exclude other kinds of juices. And just as Truma, other juices are not like the fruit, so to Bikurim is compared to Truma. And Orla in turn is compared to Bikurim. So we have the same conclusion in the third of the sources as we had in the first two of the sources, albeit for a very, very different reason, a very, very different approach. Everybody, I mean, within the world of Ibn Yeshua, everybody ultimately concludes that there were three dinim deraisa, that juices are not like fruits. Truma, Bikurim, and Orla. That's not negotiable. But how did we get there seems to be radically different. One approach was, it's a Svara B'Yama. Zeya B'Yama, don't ask any kashas. We worked it out in the lab. We made a scientific analysis. We looked at a cup of apple juice. We looked at an apple. We said, nah, it's not the same thing. The only juices that we're comfortable to say are identical are grape juice and olive oil. But short of that, it's just not the same. Zebiyama. Whereas here, the Gemara in Chulin seems to be coming to the exact same conclusion, albeit based on psukim. Does it make much of a difference whether we go down the route of psukim or go down the route of svara? It may make detailed reasons, details differences, but for the purposes of our sugya, it's not that critical. For the purposes of our sugya, we've established as a din d'oraisa, in multiple cases, Truma, Bikurim, Orla, the juice is not identical to a fruit. And the part that's most relevant, unfortunately, we don't have too many Truma Shailas very rarely. We have an Orla Shaila, we have no Bikurim Shailas today. So the part that interests us most, Lamaisa, is the Gemara's comparison to Chaz Brachas. Because we start off by saying, called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein D'Araisa Tikkun, that Chazal instituted that Brachas follows suit of the Dilim D'Araisa. And when we're learning Brachas, we're really learning Seder Zerahim. So just as Legabi Dinim Deraisa juice is not like fruit, Legabi Yuchas Brachas as well. So whether we got here through a Pasuk, we got it through a Svara, it doesn't make much of a difference. We ended up at the same destination. So now the question is, where do we go from here? So the Ora, we go from here, is very simple. Any and every fruit, with the two lone exceptions of Zeis and Yadavim, any and every fruit, if the juice is extracted, the Bracha goes down a notch. You can't say Bar Per Eitz, you have to go down to Bracha of Shahachom. However, comes the Gemara and throws a curveball at us in the fourth of the Ramah Kamas. The Gemara brachas on the Testament Aleph. Amar Rav Papa, pshitali, it is obvious to me, says Rav Papa, maya de silka kisilka. If you have silka, look at it translate silka to mean beets. Not 100% sure, but different vegetables mentioned Chazal. I'll assume it means beets. If you have a beet water, water comes out of the beets. We call that borscht, if I'm not mistaken. Or maya delifta. Or if you have water, we'll call lefes, turnips, kalifta, maya de kulishalchi, or for that matter, water of any vegetable. Basically, the Gemara says is you created, for lack of a better term, we're going to call it vegetable juice. I'm not necessarily sure that's what Chazal would describe, but we're going to call it vegetable juice. You got water that came out of a vegetable. What's the halacha? Kulishalchi. It has the status of a vegetable. This Gemara is talking vis-a-vis brachas, namely, just as you make a hadoma on a beet, make a hadoma on a turnip, you make a hadoma on a potato, you make a hadoma on a tomato, whatever bracha you make on the original source of vegetable, you make that identical bracha on the juice that comes out of it as well. And this is a big problem. This is a huge problem, because this halacha seems to contradict outright everything we've been saying up to now. We spent the first 50 minutes of the shiur developing this idea that min haTorah, liquids are just not up to par, with the lone two exceptions of Zeis and Anovim, liquids go down in bracha. But here the Gemara seems to be making about face, that when it comes to vegetables, some other brachas don't go down. Manishtana, the fruit juice from the vegetables. Now, I said a little bit, lavdafka, I called it vegetable juice. Probably the more correct term, of course, is vegetable soup. What the Gemara seems to be describing is cooking vegetables, and all of a sudden, the soup slash juice that comes out of these vegetables, the bracha remains the same. And this question bothered all the Rishon. Every Rishon under the sun was bothered with this kasha. How is it that when it comes to fruit juice, the bracha goes down a notch? When it comes to vegetables, vegetable soup, the bracha remains the same? Depending on how you answer that question, is going to make all the difference in the world. That's going to impact on the correct bracha, on our juices, on our vegetables, you name it. Everything's going to hinge upon what is the difference between these two sukkahs? Fruit juices, as clear as day, you make shakal. Vegetable soups, as clear as day, you make hadama. Manishtana, what in the world is the difference between the two? So in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, the Rosh attempts to solve this problem. Says the Rosh, fifth of the Maamar Kamos, umaya de silka, umaya de lifta, umaya de shefta, bo repri hadama. The kaimalon, because we've established, no matter what vegetable you're cooking, the bracha always remains the same. But now the Rosh presents the question. Af al pi she'ein bo kiyam hamarak v'tama yirakos. Even though we all know you're not really eating a vegetable. What you're really doing is simply having some extract, having some water that's coming out of the vegetable that tastes like the vegetable. No, says the Rosh, it doesn't matter. You still recite the bracha, kvoshu b'bracha le'irakas atzman. But now the Rosh presents the question. The vegetable soups are not the same as fruit juice. When it came to fruit juice, so we recite shahakol, what's the difference? Ma nishtana, your potato soup from your orange juice. What's the difference? Says the Rosh, that we tell the difference. Lefi, shemashke ein lo tama pri. A juice doesn't really have the taste of the fruit itself. What makes vegetable soup taste more vegetables than fruit juice of a fruit? Says the Rosh, v'efshashim bishel ha-pri, v'nichnas tam ha-peres, v'mayim v'rach le'en bar-preitz. Says the Rosh, it could be that if you cooked a fruit rather than simply squeeze it out, then the rules may be totally different. What does the Rosh mean with that line? So this Rosh is a throwback. Those who were with us at Kol HaBoker last year will definitely, hopefully, remember fond memories. We had a Yisod last year, repeated time and time again, in a halacha called Tam Ki Iker. The halacha tells us that the taste of something, for many, many purposes in halacha, takes on the status of the item itself. Let's say, for example, in the realm of kashrus, if I have a piece of chazir that falls into my potato soup, and I quickly take the chazir out, so there's no more chazir floating around inside, but when I taste the soup, it tastes, by golly, I can taste there's a little chazir in there. That soup is straight. That's a Mishnah Masechet Chulin. That's called Nesin Tam, Matam Ki Iker. Now, truth to be told, as we spoke of the Arichos last year in Kol HaBoker, there's a big machlokes in the Gemara, the Rishonim, is that a Dimin HaTorah, is that a Dimin Rabbanan, but Lamaisa, it exists. Lamaisa, it is true, called Tam Ki Iker. And truth to be told, Tam Ki Iker is not only applicable in Uchas Kashrus, it's very possible it's applicable in other areas of halacha as well. The Mishnah discusses the possibility of, let's say I have a dough that's made up partially of wheat and partially of rice, and now I want to know, is that dough chayav in challah? Or is that dough, can that dough be baked into matzah, to be yotzei matzah? Generally speaking, the halacha is that rice is not considered to be chayav in challah, not considered to be yotzei matzah, it's not from the five species of grains. If I have a mixture of some rice together with some wheat, so the Mishnah says it depends. If the taste of the wheat is discernible, so then tam kikar kicks in. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Tam kikar kicks in, and I'm chayav in challah. And tam kikar kicks in, and I could be yotzei matzah. So you see that tam kikar, that the taste of something is critical, is something that permeates many, many areas of halacha. So that's what the Rosh seems to say here also. That tam kikar can affect, can impact the chesbrachas. If I'm eating a food, even though the food is not really the item proper, but it has the taste of the item, as the tam shabo, tam kikar can require me to recite the bracha, ta'am ki ikar. The same bracha I would have made on the ikar, I can make on the ta'am as well. The only thing is, says the Rosh, that there's a condition necessary in order for ta'am to spread, and that's heat. Again, throw back to last year's Kalaboker. Gemara says, tzeni b'tzeni b'adoch, if I have a piece of treif food that touches a piece of kosher food, everything's cold, so you just wash it off and shrug. Finish. Tzeni b'tzeni b'adoch, it's cold, you wash it off. Ta'am only begins to spread through heat, or every once in a while, there may be other processes that could possibly spread ta'am. Soaking for a significant amount of time, perhaps salting. There are other processes out there that may take on certain characteristics of heat, but the basic rule is heat versus lack of heat. That's what the Rosh says. If you cooked fruit and you cooked up a fruit soup, you didn't squeeze the juice. When you take an orange, make it to orange juice, there's no heat applied. You just squeeze an orange and you have a cup of orange juice. That's not considered to be the ta'am of the orange, api halacha. But if you cook up an orange, so maybe the resulting juice would be the ta'am hadavar. So basically what the Rosh tells us is that there is no fundamental difference between fruits versus vegetables. The real difference is the process that's done to extract the liquid. If the process kicks in and the bracha remains the same, both for fruits and for vegetables. If the process to extract the liquid was merely squeezing when no heat was applied, so then it doesn't matter whether you have a fruit or a vegetable, the bracha is going to go down to being a shahakal. So according to the Rosh, anything and everything, all of these halachas depend on yes heat versus no heat. But there is a Rashba that disagrees. The Rashba got lost. I'm sorry, in the Mamakom, so I'm supposed to be the last in the Mamakom. I'm sorry, I didn't make it onto the sheet. But well, I'll share with you outside. The Rashba in Maseches Brachos asked the identical question that manishtana fruit juice from vegetable soup. And the Rashba says the answer is as follows. It's not a function of heat versus not heat, but rather it's a function of a very basic principle that governs all of Chus Brachos, and that is Darka Bekach. Is it normal or is it not normal? Eating something in a normal fashion will greatly impact the Chus Brachos. This is true of many, many aspects of the Chus Brachos. If you eat a food in a bizarre way, the bracha will automatically go down. Let's say, for example, if you eat a raw potato, you do not make a Barei Pri Adama. If you have a cooked potato, you make a Barei Pri Adama. Let's say if you have a cooked cucumber, you don't make a Barei Pri Adama because normal people don't cook cucumbers. So if you prepare food in an abnormal fashion, the bracha is going to inevitably change. Says the Rash, but that's what's going on in that Gemara as well. But the Gemara means when it says it's the alma, it's the sweat, that means that's not the normal way to eat an orange. Eat an orange, eating the orange. So a sugar is crazy. What a sugar goes in and turns oranges into orange juice. So therefore the Rash says the bracha will go down. Unlike vegetable soup. What sugar makes vegetable soup? Everyone eats soup. Who doesn't like a good hot bowl of vegetable soup? So when you cook up potato soup, you cook up borscht, you cook up whatever other kinds of vegetable soups you like. So since it was done and prepared in a normal fashion, that's the reason why the bracha remains the same. So unlike according to the Rosh who said, it's all a question of was the heat involved in the process of extracting liquid or not, the Rosh says, we don't care less about heat. The only thing that matters is it normal or not normal. So the only question you have to ask according to the Rashba, normal versus not normal. So now, of course, this sets the stage. Yeah, Mori.
So the question is about orange juice.
Is anything going to change today, you want to know?
Yeah.
Oh, does normalcy change? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because it's normal to have orange juice and then squeeze oranges.
Oh, I would say. Very good. Excellent question. So we really have twofold question now to raise. Number one, how do we bask it? Do we pass it like the Rashba, pass it like the Rashba? And number two, even if we pass it like the Rashba, that normalcy makes a difference in Uchaz Brachas, how do you define what's called normal? Is normal defined by Zman Chazal? Is normal defined by Zman Hazer? So the first question, do we paskel like the Rash or do we paskel like the Rash? Not surprising, it's Mechoikas Gedolei HaPoskim. The Mishnah Berura says that he's not really sure how to paskel. And therefore the Mishnah Berura says, we have to earn the side of caution. Earn on the side of caution, because brachas always means when in doubt, make a shakel. Shakel is always good. Akulam and birch shakel yotzi. Always yotzi. You make shakel on bread, you're also yotzi. So shakel with the evidence is a good bracha in any kind of food, any kind of liquid. Therefore, the Mishnah Berura says that unless you have both conditions that are met, namely, you cook up a fruit and it's normal to do what you did. Let's say, for example, you make a fruit soup and everybody cooks up fruit in that manner, then you could argue that's normal and it's cooked with heat. So then, Ben Lefir Rash, the bracha would remain the same bar braids. But if either one of those conditions are met, but the other one is lacking, then the Suffolk Mishnah Berura says we're going to have to earn the side of caution effect and not recite the original bracha. We're going to have to make the bracha down and notch to the bracha shahakal. So the Mishnah Berura is walking a tightrope. He's not sure how to pass. But the Chazon Ish disagrees with the Mishnah Berura. The Chazon Ish says he thinks that the Rashba's reason is so compelling that ultimately everybody accepts it. The Rashba didn't argue with the Rashba in the sense of saying the Rashba's reason is incorrect. What the Rashba is simply saying is that you don't need the Rashba's reason. The Eidishlein, it's an additional answer. Is the Rashba's reason right? Of course the Rashba's reason is right, says the Chazon Ish. It's the principle that governs all Luchos Brachos. We know it's an existing principle, normal versus abnormal. And therefore, the Chazon Ish is not concerned with the Suffolk Brachas. The Chazon Ish says that if we meet the criteria of normal, whatever those criteria are, so then we can be perfectly comfortable reciting the original Bracha. Then the Chazon Ish says, and what's called normal? Does normal change? Says the Chazon Ish, yes. He thinks that normal changes. And even though it could be that in the olden days, the way the Rashba said it was considered to be very, very strange to squeeze fruit, this man has said that's clearly not the case. I think the studies will show you that there's a whole oranges, the whole orange industry, the whole juice orange industry. These plants, these orange trees are grown dafka for the purposes of making oranges. So if you have yourself a cup of Tropicana orange juice, no one's going to look at you like you're crazy. In the olden days, if you had yourself, you took a wonderful date and you squeezed out and you drank a cup of date on the guy's a little bit strange, shahakal. But if you have a cup of orange, the Chazon Ish, he thinks that the correct bracha on orange juice should in fact be a bar braids. Nothing to do with whether you like pulp or not pulp, irrelevant what brand of Tropicana you have. Any orange juice that's dark of a kahola, the orange is dark of a kahola, squeezing the juice, the male of the bracha is going to be a bar braids, as Bana said. So the Mishnah Berura could not hold this way, because the Mishnah Berura wasn't sure whether we pass like the Rashba or the Rosh. But the Chazon Ish, who says that everybody concedes that the Rashba, was willing to go the extra mile and say that the bracha is going to actually remain the same, as Bana said. Lemaisa, most of us do not follow this Chazon Ish. The minhag ha'olam in most people is that they recite a shahakal orange juice. So why is that so? So you can understand that in one of two ways, even because maybe we just don't accept this Chazon Ish. Maybe we accept the Mishnah Berura and we're worried about the Suffolk Brachas. Or maybe there's an almost like a tangential reason why we don't want to make a barber eight on orange juice. It's almost like an additional reason, Luchos Brachas, that's almost compelling us not to recite what would otherwise have been the quote-unquote correct bracha. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein suggested in Tshuva that the real reason why most of us don't make a bar braids and orange juice is not because we fundamentally disagree with Chazon Ish's svar. We really think the Chazon Ish is right, that Da'ak HaBakach is really, really critical, and therefore the bracha really should have been ha'eitz, but there's almost a reason, literally from left field, that prevents us from reciting a bracha bar braids, and it's based on the following. There is a famous question of Tosus in the six bracha brachas, where Tosus asks, we know that when it comes to mizonos, so mizonos pretty much always remains a mizonos. If I have something which has the five species of grain in it, wheat, barley, etc., even though there are other foods in it, other things mixed into it, even though the grain may be in the minority, it always remains the original bracha. You always recite mizonos. Normally you follow the rules of Ikar V'Tofel, whatever is considered to be the more significant part, that always gets the bracha, Ikar V'Tofel, but mizonos always remains the Ikar. So Tosfos asks the famous question, how come we don't recite a mizonos on beer? Beer is made of barley, there's barley in the beer, why don't we make a mizonos on beer? What happened? So says Tosfos, you don't make a mizonos on a drink. A drink is shahakol, with the exception of grape juice, wine, maybe olive oil. Short of those halachically significant drinks, beverages get shahakol. Finished, end of discussion. So argues with Moshe, for that reason, oranges get shahakol. We fundamentally agree to the Chazon Ish that based on all the rules of Darkei Bekach and the resolution of the two sugyas, the bracha should have been, b'lishum safek, the bracha should have been A barber ate an orange juice. It says, Rosh hands are tied. You can't recite a bracha on orange juice. It's just impossible. What do we gain from this understanding of Rav Moshe? So there may be some other area of halacha that may be applicable to us because of this understanding of Rav Moshe. There is a halacha in Hilchos Truma. Truma is a davar kadosh, and you're not allowed to be mafsid, you're not allowed to destroy a davar kadosh. And for that reason, if you take a fruit of truma and you make it to the point that the bracha goes down, that's basically the proof positive. That's the litmus test that you've basically changed the fruit. You basically destroyed the fruit. And you're not allowed to do that. Mishmeres Truma said there's an Isser with a Torah to be mafsid perish of Truma. They have Kedusha, they have sanctity to them. So if you take an apple of Truma and you cut it in half, there's nothing wrong with that. It was a burp, it's still a burp. But if you take an apple and you turn it into a juice, turn it into something that the bracha will go down, that's proof positive you have destroyed that fruit. You have turned the fruit into Zev Yama, that you're not allowed to do. That same prohibition applies to Perish Shvias as well. Anything that grows in the Shemitah year, certain things that grow in the Shemitah year you're not allowed to eat, and certain things you are allowed to eat. Even those fruit and grows in the Shemitah year which are permitted to eat, nevertheless, you're not allowed to destroy them. That's the reason why you're not allowed to take Perish Shvias. Let's say I didn't finish my whole apple. You can't just take the half the apple and throw it into the garbage. You have to put it aside. You're not allowed, you have to wait till it rots by itself. You're not allowed to actively, physically destroy Perish Shvias. So if you would take a pre that has Kedusha Shvias and you would turn it into a juice, if the bracha remains the same, then you didn't really destroy it, and that would be permissible. If the bracha went down, that's a proof positive that you destroyed it, and that would be a problem. What would the din be bizman as I have an orange or shmita, and I want to make orange juice? Is that permissible or not? So l'chora, according to the Rush, that's a problem. Because according to the Rush, by squeezing the orange, so you changed the bracha. You went from something that was good for pri, something which is not good for pri, to zev yama, so you halachically destroyed the orange, and you violated the yisr of be mafsid perishvias. You're not allowed to do that. That's like throwing into the garbage. According to the Rashba, it should be okay. Because I didn't destroy it. Because according to the Rashba, it's the same bracha. But what about according to us? We, who don't really follow the Rashba, but the reason why we don't follow the Rashba is not because we hold that I destroyed the fruit. The reason why we can't accept the Rashba is because there's a quirk tucked away in Uchas Brachas, that you can't make the original bracha short of Shahako on drinks. But from the chetz of the fruit, I really didn't destroy it. It really is a fruit. It's the same fruit. Because the Rash was fundamentally right. As long as it's darker b'kach, it should be okay. So it's based on this chazinish. There are many poskim who permitted the making of oranges during the Shnasa Shemitah. You're allowed to squeeze an orange, turn it into oranges, that's okay. Even though according to the Rosh, that would be a problem. According to the Rash, it would be okay. According to the Chazanish, we really follow the Rashba. And even though we, with the capital W, don't really follow the Chazanish, we don't really follow the Rashba, the only reason we don't follow the Rashba is because of the technical detail of because on drinks, you just can't make more than Shaka. But in terms of Lomdus, the Chazanish is right. It's still basically called the Gufa Pri, since it's Daka B'kach. So many, many posts came on Makil on this. Remember the first time I heard this Kula, when I was learning in Kevi Avna, and one of my roommates was an Israeli, he used to love oranges. He would actually get his own little orange juicing machine in the room, and he would collect oranges from the Cheder Ochel all the time, and he would make him into a couple, make himself a, you know, pitchers of oranges all the time in the dormitory. So remember one year during the Shnasa Shmita, he was doing it. So I was talking to him about it. So he told me that the psak is that he was given it. I found afterwards the Rabbi Yashiv asked him this way, like based on this Chazanish, and even those who disagree with the Chazanish would be makel, you're allowed to make oranges into orange juice during the Shnasa Shmita. So we rolled the clock ahead about the more than two Shemitah cycles later. I have to correct myself on that one. Maybe closer to about four Shemitah cycles later, where I was running a trip during one of my many summers at NCSY Kollel during the end of the Matzoi Shasa Shemitah, at the end of the Shemitah year. And one of the trips was called the famous NCSY Kollel food trip. It's the food / halacha trip. We go watch a Shechita, and we go make our own cheese, and we bake our own pitas. And as part of the trip, they took us to this berry place or something out in the middle of nowhere, and we're supposed to make smoothies out of our own berries. So I raised a red flag. Wait a second, it was the Shemitah year. How can you take berries and put them into a blender and turn them into a smoothie? Isn't that called mafsid berries? So I asked the chevra at this place one question. It was the only question I asked them. Is this darka b'kach? What is the normal way to eat these berries? The people generally come and bunch on the berries themselves, and the guys are making smoothies and just doing a shtick to make some money off the Americans, or no, that this is the normal way. This is the malach. People don't generally eat berries. The more normal way is to turn it into smoothies. So the answer was, what was this? I guess they were trying to advertise the smoothie business. Smoothies, that's the way to go. People don't eat the berries, they turn into smoothies. Oh, Baruch Hashem, if it's the Darka Bakach, then that's this Rashba. The Rashba says that if it's Darka Bakach, then the bracha remains the same. Even though I did not paskin to make a barber eats on these berry smoothies, I paskin shakol, because I was invoking Ramesh's Pesach, and Nuchas Brachis, the bracha Nebuch technically goes down, but in terms of Lomdus, the fruit is still the same. And since the fruit is still the same, therefore for Shemitah purposes, that's not called destroying the fruit of Shemitah. So we had a little bit of a limud in terms of Hilchos Brachos here, which was really exposed us a little bit to some sugyas in Seder Zeroyim. So we started out in Parshas Kisavo, this week's Parsha. So we saw that it's important to define what's called pre, Resh Pri Adama. You have to bring the pre for Bikurim. There's a din of Peiros for Truma, there's a din of Peiros for Orla, and there's a din of Peiros for Brachos. How do you define Peiros? So the fundamental question is the juice the same as the pre? So we had the contradiction, the apparent contradiction to the two Gemaras, the difference between fruit juices and vegetable soups. And again, if you go down the route of the Rosh, you go down the route of the Rashba. If you go down the route of the Rashba, then the Chazanish's point becomes critical, where everything changes with Manazah. And even if we don't follow the Chazanish to the last point of reciting Barber 8 on the orange juice, but maybe we should still accept the Chazanish's theory that the fruit, that the juice really is the Gufa Pri. For all other areas of halacha short of Hilchos Brachos for technical grounds, and therefore in terms of Hilchos Truma and Hilchos Shemitah, it would be permissible for us to quote unquote destroy the fruit, because that's not really called destroying it, that's called still maintaining it, and therefore it would actually be permissible to turn the berries into smoothies. So Lamaisa, when all the dust settles, I still think the bracha on the oranges and the smoothies is shakal. But the other man ate, I wouldn't have to repeat the bracha, but I still think the bracha is probably shakal, that's where Aaron Minig is. But nevertheless, for those who have a great desire, you can hang out for another year or two to the Shemitah year, and you want to turn your berries or Shemitah into smoothies, that would be permissible. Try not to drink Orla juice. Try, if you're not a Kohen, try not to drink your Truma juice. But we won't give you Malkus, and we won't make you pay the money, so you'll get off a little bit, and you can definitely enjoy your smoothies. And,